Everyone that's home and is watching, we're blessed that you are tuned in, and we miss and love everyone out there. It's exciting to be in the house of the Lord and worshiping God, that's for sure. Whether you're at home or here with us, we're just pumped. For some of you that are here and maybe that you're new, we welcome you with a holy high five of a 6 foot distance. But on top of that, just to kind of give you guys some of the madness of the method that we're doing, because I know some people who are new, you're probably like, why are all these people with cameras everywhere? And the reason is because our crew, they're recording this worship experience for people at home so that they can have the most fullness of a worship experience they could possibly have, if that makes sense. So for some of you, are like, this is really distracting. This guy with the camera is all in front of me. Well, don't worry. They're not filming you. But just keep in mind, there's a reason. There's a method to the madness here this morning. So if you see that happening, just bear with it, okay? Desperate times call for desperate measures. That's an understated statement. But hey, I'm pumped. Hey, it's offering time, so let's get our offerings ready. There's multiple ways to give. You can give by check or cash. For you that are here in person, we have offering buckets out in the foyer lobby area. As you walk out, you'll see those baskets, little signs there. There's also offering envelopes out there available, too. For you that are home, we do not have that option. However, if you do need to send in a check or cash, you can do that by mailing it to Trailhead Church at 123 North Main Street, Graham, North Carolina, 27253. And for anyone that's giving electronically, you can do that super safe, secure, all that good stuff. You can download our new church app and go and select the giving tab that way. Or you can give by going to trailhead.info, selecting the giving tab, and go through that process. Also, we have text to give, and there's a bunch of numbers somewhere probably behind me on a screen, but for you that are home, it is 888-364-4483. So there you go. There's all the different ways to give. And on top of that, I just want to let you guys know, every single Sunday, I'm going to sound like a broken record until we are in our new facility, but just deal with it, okay? But it has been tremendous seeing everyone's hard work, seeing Nicole Harkins come out, let me tell you something. I'm only going to pick on Nicole just for a second. Nicole's like, no, why me? Well, let me tell you why. So here it is. It's a Friday evening, right? It's a Friday evening. Here's Nicole, and she comes out. Never, ever has ran a belt sander on a wooden floor, and you're like, hey, just pull the trigger and start walking. And she's like, okay, you know. And here she is out there on a Friday evening, and it's just tremendous. On top of that, Dave was there edging around. On top of that, Chris was here. Chris was out on Friday night, and here I thought, there's no way Chris is going to show up on a Saturday morning to continue to do this. He was here the night before. Sure enough, here comes Chris over my shoulder on Saturday morning, and I was like, dude, what are you doing here? If there's someone with a reason not to be here, that's Chris, right? And he's like, I had so much fun, I wanted to come back. I think he was lying a little bit, but it was exciting to see people's faces and their excitement to see the work at hand. And I just applaud you all for seeing fit the need and then saying, here I am, send me and be a part of that. Guys, our future facility has so much opportunity to reach the lost. You know, I've been people who walk and do a tour with me through the facility. I say little things, and maybe you're picking up on what I'm dropping, but I'm saying words like, you know, right now as a church, the light switch is off, and I'll get into my message in just a second because you'll see how this flows, but the light switch is off a little bit right now when it comes to all that God is ready to start pouring out. And the reason is because, well, we've got one goal in mind, and that is to get this accomplished. But once this warehouse is made new and refreshed and restored, trust me, the light switch comes on and all sorts of things start happening. If you guys are around me for very often and some of the people on leadership around, you'll know that, man, if there is something that God can do with me in this leadership, and that's pour out vision. And I'm excited about the possibilities and what we're going to do with our new home. We're going to reach people like never before. We're going to see lives change like never before. We're going to see breakthrough after breakthrough after breakthrough. And I can't wait just to experience that. It's really awesome. You know, in the natural, that facility was a hosiery slash yarn factory slash silk factory. It was multiple different things. But one thing that came in consistently on the loading docks. So there's a total of 6 loading docks there. But there were different signs that kind of told you what the loading docks were. Well, one was receiving, right? And one was distributing. Well, those that were on the loading docks that was receiving, they were receiving raw material. And inside that warehouse, they were sculpting, they were manufacturing what was about to take place, goods. And then on top of that, there was a quality control lab in there. We kept the sign on the door. And inside that quality control lab was this giant, really strange-looking wheel thing. It had this giant wheel. And you would push this button down, like this foot pedal, and it would actually stretch the material to see the quality. Hopefully you're picking up what I'm dropping here. Guys, our future home, that warehouse was meant for us as Christians, okay? Let me tell you something. We're going to see raw material come in, but we see what God can do with that raw material. We as a church, the church body, as we continue to lean into the things of God, being Spirit-led, of the things of God, His will and His purpose, you're going to see the giftings that God has always created you to be and do. And inside of that, you're going to be a part of the manufacturing of the raw material to see the goodness come out of that. And then there's going to be some stretching moments, some hard moments where it's going to be like, oh my goodness. And then, but you recognize this is the quality control moment. This is that moment that you're leaning into the things of God. And you're going to see the stretch take place. Guys, oh, by the way, and there's one more process. Then the sending. We're going to begin to send people out, right? Guys, I'm excited about all of this. And it's all because of your faithfulness and your dedication. And I appreciate and love all of you for sticking to it, especially even with the Journey Home offerings and sticking to that, your pledge that you guys pledged to do. We're so appreciative of that. You know, there's a few more things that we want to do coming into the warehouse. We have a few more areas that need to be accomplished. And so I pray that you pray that, again, workers are coming in, and then that the finances continue to keep coming in so that we can reach people. It's tremendous. You know, we had a group from Ohio, another church. Well, guess what? This past week I had a church from Texas, Pastor Colby. Carrie and Alan, for you guys, they called it. He reached out to me and says, hey, you need me? He goes, I got another guy. He goes, we can fly out. And so I was like, yes, I'll take anybody and everybody. I love that there's other churches seeing the need to see this place built. How fun is that? So I'm excited to see just what's around the corner. This is tremendous. So, guys, I'm going to pray over the offering. We'll receive it, and then I'll get into my message here. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this time together, Lord, to be able to give. And Lord, that we give in a way, Lord, that it's regular, sacrificially, and that it's cheerful and not grudgingly or out of compulsion. God, I thank you, Lord, as we give. Lord, every need is being met. God, I thank you for what you're doing and what you're about to do. God, and what you've done. Lord, I'm so thankful for our future home. Lord, that laborers are coming in. Lord, that our sacrifice has been seen. Lord, we know that. But God, I pray that you give us that extra grace and mercy, Lord, that extra strength to get in there and see it to the end. God, I thank you, Lord, for the supernatural finances, Lord, to accomplish all that needs to be accomplished, the extra bathrooms, the future office spaces. God, I thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing. Lord, we honor you. Lord, we praise you. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. All right, let's get right into my message today. So turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 13. We're going to start with verse 8 through 15. This is something, this is a great story. I have preached on this story before, and it's something that always ministers to me because I come naturally to wanting to see big things take place. That's just who I am. I love seeing big things happen. Years ago, I put a task on our children's pastor, Miss Christian. I said, Miss Christian, I want to see a hot air balloon at a fall festival. I begged her. I want a hot air balloon. I want to tether it to the ground and put kids in it and send them up 50, 100 feet and then bring them back down. I just want that, right? And so a few years ago, we tried and the weather conditions weren't correct. But every time we see a hot air balloon out in the sky, we always say, Miss Christian got us that. Every single time. Miss Christian, she got us that balloon. Someday we will have a hot air balloon, Miss Christian. Do I get an amen?
Amen.
Okay. I really wanted to hear it from her, though. Okay, all right, okay, good. She knows the pressure's on, you know, I say that because I love big things. I love the possibility of it. You know, we had a saying back in the day that we loved saying was, we want a dream so big that it's destined to fail without divine intervention. We want God to come in, show up, and just pour out. And I can't wait to continue to see those things take place. Well, you know, someone who walked and operated in that was Abraham. And, you know, with Abraham, it was actually much harder than it is right now for us. Abraham was living in a time where, you know, it was desert everywhere. It was desolate. And to the notion of God showing up and saying, hey, you're going to be the father of many nations. What is that like, right? And then to be of age to say, now you can have a kid, would be really an extreme case. But, you know, Abraham never faltered, never wavered. He stayed true to what God had told him. So in this story, you'll see something really cool. So here we go in verse 8. So Abram... it was right before he got turned into Abraham, said to Lot, this is his nephew, says, let's not have any quarreling between you and me. See, what happened was they started growing so big, their faithfulness, the blessings of God continued to increase. They grew so large, there was some quarreling between different people within their groups, okay? So there shouldn't have any type of quarreling between you and me or between your herders and mine, for we are close relatives. Is not the whole land before you? Let's part company. If you go to the left, I'll go to the right. If you go to the right, I'll go to the left. Lot looked around and saw that the whole plain of the Jordan toward Zoar was well watered, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt. Now, this was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Isn't it interesting that Abraham was actually willing to say, hey, you know what? Even though Abraham had the right, he said, hey, Lot, you get to pick. I'm going to let you just pick. You go ahead. Because Abraham knew one thing. He knew that no matter where he went, God was there. Because he was led by the Spirit. Now, in accordance to this, again, back to this moment, which is just amazing. He says, Lot. Now, look at Lot. Right? Lot's like, desert, 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 water. I'm going to pick water. Isn't that just like most of us, where we want to go, oh, this seems the best and the easiest. It's not really necessarily the best, it's just the easiest. We go, this is the easiest. Guys, God may call you to the hardest, but it's okay. That's okay. It's not to be distraught. You shouldn't sit here and go, oh, because that's what happens. The vision gets stolen because we start weighing cost and time, effort, the sweat, and we sit here and go, oh my goodness, that's tough. So, verse 11. So Lot chose for himself the whole plain of the Jordan and set out toward the east. The two men parted company. Abraham lived in the land of Canaan, and while Lot lived among the cities of the plain and pitched his tents near Sodom. Now, the people of Sodom were wicked and were sinning greatly against the Lord. And then here is what I want you to pay attention to, verse 14. The Lord said to Abram, after Lot had parted from him, look around from here. Sorry, look around from where you are, to the north and south, to the east and west. All the land that you see, I will give to you and your offspring forever. Now, I want to read out of the King James Version what it says verse 14, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art. Many of us have been downcast. Many of us are constantly plagued with our past. You're sitting here with regrettable decisions. You're sitting here not knowing where to go because you just don't know where you are. And God tells Abraham something that's really important. And I do believe it is the key to your future. And that's to look from here to out there. To look from where you are right now to look up. To stop being downcast. To stop continuing to beat yourself up. To listen to the voices that are not from God. To begin to say, all right, God, I'm going to look from here. There's a new beginning. I'm going to pay attention to where I am right now to get out from this moment to where you want me to be. We allow too many voices in our comfort zone. Let's call it our comfort zone. We're letting too many voices. It's actually very overwhelming. You know, I think just to kind of pair off with this story, with the story that shortly follows, is Lot's wife. Everyone should know this story. If you don't, let me just get it to you real quick. They're leaving Sodom and Gomorrah because it was so wicked and evil. Yet Lot's wife couldn't leave it. And what does she do? She doesn't look from where she is to where she's going. Instead, she looks from where she was to where she was. And she looks behind her and she turns into a pillar of salt. For many of us, that should be a life lesson. In this moment, you see, God gives instruction of looking from where you are to your future, where in Lot's wife's case, it was, I have a future, but I keep wanting to look at my past. I keep wanting to look over my shoulder. And it's no good. Some of you in this room can testify, it's no good. I've been in those moments of the no good. I remember meeting my wife for the first time, and I thought, what were all those girls about? Those are no good. Right? Right. It's important. I've had jobs in my life that I kept sitting here going, why am I at this job? And I've had that moment of realizing this is not where God wants me to be. And I begin to pray for the right door to open. Some of you got to start looking from where you are to where God's saying, hey, this is it. You have got to begin to be Spirit-led. Now, Proverbs 29:18. This is the King James Version because all of you are very familiar with this. Where there is no vision, the people perish. I love how the NLT puts it. The NLT puts it, when people do not accept divine guidance, they run wild. They run wild. Guys, there's so much. That's the funny thing. It's so wonderful how the scriptures, the Bible, when you open up this Bible and you read a word, there are so many different layers to certain words. They just keep peeling back. There's so much understanding in just a phrase. It doesn't just stop there. There's actually a lifestyle. There's a life living word that's right there before your eyes where you go, wow. Just as I just pointed out in Genesis, you see in this moment, God gives him physical instructions, but there's a spiritual teaching inside of that of look from where you are right now to out there, to the east, the north. To be Spirit-led is so important. I mean, it's all throughout the scriptures. You got Psalm 143:10. You have Galatians chapter 5. Just go with the whole chapter if you want. But Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. You have Romans chapter 8. And inside of 8, you start with 14 and just continue to read all of Romans chapter 8. But if you want, start with chapter 8 or verse 14 and on. And you'll notice that Spirit-led life is so important. It's actually the only way to live. That in Romans chapter 8, the breakdown is that how the Spirit joins your spirit and you begin to operate in a functionality that's actually organized. It's an organized functionality that you go, hey, the supernatural is actually more important than the physical. You recognize, hey, yeah, in the natural I see things, but in the supernatural I see something even greater. I see the potential of what God can do. I begin to walk in a way, in a manner that I'm not downcast by what's around me, the plaguing notions of death and destruction. I mean, my gosh, if there's not a year that this doesn't make more sense. But even in Romans chapter 8, there's a warning. Oh, there will be suffering. But don't worry about it. I know some of you sitting here, and you may have just contradicted what I just said by saying, yeah, it's easier said than done. Well, guess what? Try it out. Amen. Call me a liar. Call God a liar. When the guys from Ohio are in, some of you guys know I'm a foodie. When the guys from Ohio are in and they were helping out with the warehouse, I told him, I said, hey, listen, we have the best donut place in the history of the world. I said, and on top of that, we have one of the best ice cream places in the world. I said, and on top of that, we have some of the best barbecue places in the world. And they said, take me there. I said, we even have one of the most, I think it's El Salvadorian, right? Is El Cabanero, is Adam or Dex here? Is that El Salvadorian? Yeah. Okay, the best El Salvadorian place in America. Because I'm sure there's better in El Salvador. But here in America, the pupusas are unbelievable. They were like, what's a pupusa? I said, you just wait. I took them there, and you should have seen their faces. They were like, this was tremendous. They said they walked out and they go, that was a treat. I go, yeah, it was. All right. I took them to the donut place, NC Jelly Donuts. I said, I got them donuts. And they go, even the one guy, before he ate it, he even made a stupid remark about Krispy Kreme. And I said, sure, dude, whatever. He took a bite and I saw his face. He goes, wow. Right? Wow, that's a good donut. And I go, I know. Then I took him to the dairy. I took them out to Homeland Creamery where they could get ice cream. I heard a deep belly. Oh, yeah. You know what I'm talking about, right? Like you're like, oh, yeah. There's a deepness to that. Like, oh, that's good. That's good stuff. That's some comfort, right? Immediately, they ate the ice cream, and they wanted to go back. We had driven away. And they're like, how far away are we? Like, it was okay to go back, even though we may have been 5 miles down the road. The point being is, some of you guys can attest to what I'm saying because you've eaten there. You've tasted it, right? And now this is pathetic because I'm putting a man's explanation to the things of God. I realize what I'm doing, but I've got to put some natural side of this where some of you have tasted these things and you could say, oh, they're good. Not necessarily good for you, but they're good, right? Guys, throughout the scriptures, all throughout the Word of God, continually, you see that the scriptures point to the things of God. Continually, they say, oh, God's goodness, God's greatness, God's mercies, they endure forever. His love, His patience, He brings peace, He brings comfort. For some of you, if you're going through turmoil right now, you are missing out. You're missing out on something tremendous. I don't believe the Word of God is lying to us. We've got to see that this is the right step. That God's continually saying, hey, here I am. Hey, I want you. None of you. There is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. You can sit here and you can listen to the devil, and that's your choice. And you can listen to this world to tell you that you're broken, but you're not broken. I have a healer. I have a way maker. I have a Lord that wants to come in and wants to restore you. He wants to take some of that raw material you got. Some of that material you think that's not good anymore. Oh, He's going to refine it. He's going to take care of it. You've got to allow God to take hold of you. I don't ever want to be finished. I've said this time and time again. You know, you've got an Isaiah. You know, you are clay in the potter's hand. This is great scripture. Some of you guys keep saying, stop. God, oh, that hurts. There's going to be suffering. There's going to be some stretching. There's going to be moments. But in those moments, you can allow God to do something great. I never want to yell at God and say, God, stop. Then I become this small Voss. What do I want to be? I want to be that crazy Voss in a rich person's house, right? In that corner, one of those absurd looking ones. You're like, what are you putting that? Now, they don't use it correctly. But God knows how to use it. God pours in so that you can pour out. God wants to use you in a mighty way. So you got to let God just keep molding, keep growing, keep adding clay, where you just continue to grow larger and larger so that so you're not selfish. That's why I said those big vases in the corner of rich person houses, well, they're just special. Those are just dust collectors. I want to be used in God's hands, in God's house. I want to be a vase in God's house. All right? I want to be a vessel that can just continue to God to pour out so much and to flow out. I can't wait to see what God's about to do. You know, vision from God is you seeing what he is seeing. I love my son Colton. Colton, come here. He's my shyest one. That's why he just shook his head. No. Typical Colton. Colton, come here. No, don't you say no to me. Get up here now. Come on, let's go. 3, 2, 1, you're grounded. 3, 2. Cohen would come up easily, but I want the one who's hesitant. Colton, come on, man. Come here. Come here now. 3, 2. I only have a few more minutes. Come on. Everybody say, Colton, 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 Colton. All right, Colton, right here. Stand right here. Man, look at the hesitant on that kid. Come here, turn around. I want everybody to see your pretty face. Now, as you notice, he's hesitant. There's a real reluctancy here. Why? Why is that? In this kid, I have no idea, but he's actually, I'm sorry, you two. You two are funny. He is one of our funniest kids. He's really funny. So this kid right now, he's my son, right? You guys would all agree that he can't see what I can see. Because why? Because he's not up here. My illustration is to tell you that when you come to your father doesn't want to keep you right here. Your father wants to bring you on the stage.
Oh my gosh, what?
And this is a little scary, right?
No.
No, whatever. He wants to bring you up so you can see what he sees. He doesn't want to keep you down. We don't serve a God that keeps you down. We serve a God that brings you to where you can see. He's not a God that says, and I'll keep things from you. He doesn't keep things from you. He wants to reveal things to you. He has the best picture for your life. And then, oh yeah, I'm doing it. Oh my God.
The world.
Then he takes you up higher. You have to allow him to take you up. You got to allow him so you can see. I'm not going to drop you. Would you stop?
I know.
Did you hear that? He knows. Oh my gosh, though, how much do you weigh now? Goodness gracious. Stop eating all them jelly donuts. How many donuts did you eat yesterday?
0.
A liar. No. Get out of here. I love you. Guys, you've got to allow him to bring you up. You can't allow fear of everyone watching. You can't allow the physical side to keep you from him bringing you up to a place where you can see what he sees. Eye level. In Psalm 63, 1-3, oh God, you are my God. I earnestly search for you. My soul thirsts for you. My whole body longs for you in this parched and weary land where there is no water. I have seen you in your sanctuary and gazed upon your power and glory. Your unfailing love is better than life itself. How I praise you. when stuff happens, when you find yourself in a stuck moment, is your tendency to call and tell everybody about it? Or is your tendency to praise Him because you know of His glory and His power to overcome these sun-scorched lands? When Abraham looked from where he was, and he looked out, he wasn't sitting here going through the bleakness of what it could be. He was looking at the possibilities through the eyes of God. God, what is it that you have for me? I know the blessings that you have for me. I'll go where you tell me to go. I'll be who you tell me to be. You know, I think it's important for some of you guys to know some of the history of our church as far as just the vision in the past of what's happened, just so that you know where we're going. You know, my wife and I, we were part of a college ministry, and in that college ministry, we saw college students, Dave and Adam and different ones that have maybe visited and you've met them or whatever, but we saw these hungry individuals that didn't care about all of the attention of the physical world or the things of that world, but those people who were hungry for the things of God. And we saw what could take place in an environment where people came in and they were like, man, I just want to worship God. And we had evenings where we would just be worshiping Him with no care to anything at all, with not worrying about tomorrow morning. I mean, these are college students, so I know you're sitting here going, that's pretty easy for them. Like, they can stay up till 3 o'clock in the morning and not worry about tomorrow's exam or whatever it may be. But that freedom, as Jesus says, come to me like a child, childlike freedom. My encouragement for all of you in this room is having that same mentality that, you know what, I'm not going to worry about all of this nonsense around me. I'm not going to worry about tomorrow. I'm not going to worry about what the world is saying or people saying. I'm not going to worry about these things, but I'm going to worship Him. I'm going to praise Him. I'm going to magnify Him because I know of His glory and of His power. I've experienced it. I want to continue to flow in it. I want you to be Spirit-led and vision-driven. So I do want to cast vision to you because why? Because where there is no vision, the people will perish. Guys, we have a lot of raw material in front of us. I'm not talking about this room necessarily. There's some raw material in here for sure. But guys, there's a lot of people in our own community. I'm mission focused for sure. We support a lot of missionaries here at our church. But I know what we have right out here in these fields. There are so many ripe, harvested plants that need to be plucked and brought in to the manufacturing of God's warehouse. Because God wants to show these people the goodness that He has for them. It's His power and it's His glory. As David points out, as the psalmist points out, in Psalm 63, your unfailing love is better than life itself. Are you aware of this? Is everyone in this room aware of God's love for you? You have to know it. You have to be aware of it. My wife and I, we have a vision for North Carolina. We have a vision for North Carolina. I think I told this story a few weeks ago. I think I did. I've told this story just a handful of times now, but I want to tell you this story again. My wife and I were given a vision for this church to reach people from the mountains to the sea. That's why God planted us here in Graham, knowing that this is one of those in-between spots where people love to live, but then they can go out. And everywhere you go out from this location, you're ministering that same vision. You're ministering that message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that His love is so tremendous, that people need to understand that there is no condemnation in that love, that we stand upright to the things of God, that that comes before any political stance, that comes before any type of whatever stance that you may be following. God is number one. And if loving of God, the love of God, whether you receive it and in giving it both ways here, you would understand how that manifests in your life in such a way that it transcends all of these other things, because that comes first. When you fall in love with God, that takes care of all these other issues. So for you, as individuals of this church, our vision and our mission at hand is that we, as we travel from the mountains to the sea, we're going to reach people. We're going to teach the love of God. We're going to do it in such a tremendous way that people are going to begin to travel from distances to come to Trailhead Church because they know, whoa, 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 they're doing something there. Like, I can't wait for those moments where we start, when the greeters are like, oh, are you new to this area? And they're like, no, I live in Vermont. And you're like, what? Yeah, someone visited Vermont, and I just had to come here. I had to see what was going on. Because of the quality that's taking place in our home. There's a quality that's going to take place. That quality comes from the fact that you've understood the quantity, Ephesians, talking about how deep, how wide God's love is. When you are a living well in the things of God, led by the Spirit and vision-driven, then what takes place is people will go, there's quality there. I want to go see that quality. I want to be a part of that quality. So my wife and I, we visited friends of our churches, and there was a minister there, and he called my wife and I up, and he said, anything I say to you two from this point on is from God. So immediately I was like, I want to hear this. And he closed his eyes and he said, I heard your prayer. I heard your prayer. From the mountains to the Outer Banks. From the Outer Banks to the mountains. To the mountains to the Outer Banks, we're sending people. I've heard your prayer. Isn't that not crazy, right? One of those moments where you're like, God's so good. I mean, we've been saying this for a year plus. This guy doesn't know Anna and I. He doesn't know. He doesn't follow our church. He's not paying attention to those things. And here he says, the words, the mountains to the Outer Banks. Guys, that's what God's blessed us with. And to hear the confirming word from God to say, hey, I've heard your prayer, and I'm sending workers. Well, guess what, everybody? That's you. When I heard that, I got so excited. I thought about Tawa. I thought about Kayla. I thought about Eli, Austin, and Ashley. I thought about Rebecca, Carrie, and Alan, Matai. I thought about all the people up in the balcony. I can't see your faces, otherwise I'd call you guys out. I can't really see any of your faces down here either, but I'm just hoping you're here this morning. But for you guys that are at home, he's called you out. We're a part of this great vision. And that's really something to behold. That this wee little town in North Carolina, this wee little county here in North Carolina, God has a vision and a plan for us. And you're a part of it. And now there's no more time to look behind us. There's no more of this, but I'm this. I dealt with that. No, I don't know who that is. I know who you are, and I believe God knows where you're going. And we need to allow to be led by the Spirit. I'm going to pray, and then we'll conclude today. But if you're lost, if someone's at home right now and you're lost, guess what? This is a new beginning. If you're sitting here going, I don't know where I'm going from here, no. I'm going to introduce you to the one who does know where you're going. And I want you to make that decision today. It's one of the best decisions you can make. So I'm going to pray this prayer, and I want you to come in agreement with me. From home, if you choose to pray this prayer, then let us know. Would you email us? There will be this. There's emails. I think we're emailing email info@trailhead.church and let us know. We want to make sure that you're connected with one of our prayer and care team so that you can find out more information. For you that's in this room, well, we have made available today over here, my left, your right, you can go over here and we're going to have some prayer care workers there. So I would encourage you guys to make this decision to stop looking behind you and to look before you, because it's wide open. When you're hand in hand with God and you've allowed the Spirit of God to join with your spirit, you can do anything. And you will do the things that you were meant for. So let's pray. God, we thank you for this time together. God, I thank you, Lord, for your wisdom. Lord, I thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, that we're not going to be a generation that's downcast. And Lord, we're not going to be a generation that is focused on the Sodom and Gomorrahs. Lord, that we're going to be focused straight ahead, our gaze upon you. God, I thank you, Lord, that we know your power and your glory. Lord, that we understand the depth of your love for us. And so, God, we make that decision today. Lord, we pray that you, Lord, declaring it right now, that you are our Lord and Savior. Lord, that we know, Lord, that we have sins. And Lord, that you are washing away those sins, that there's no condemnation in your love. So God, we thank you for this. Lord, we honor you with everything we put our hands to, everything that we do. God, we thank you, Lord. We magnify you. Lord, we thank you that as making you our Lord and personal Savior, Lord, we choose this day, Lord, for the rest of our lives to live a life, Lord, that's pleasing to you. And Lord, that we open our hearts up for the Holy Spirit to move in, Lord, and transform us to be new creations in Christ Jesus. Lord, we honor you, and in Jesus' name we pray.